Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. We found ourselves making a little bit of a journey through the book of Daniel. In the first chapter, we see Daniel as a young slave who's just come out of his country and he's been taken into another country. And he's almost sort of just been left until something happens that the king decides that there are some young men who've been taken as slaves and their gifts and talents might well be harnessed for the benefit of him and his kingdom. And that's a turning point for Daniel. God's hand is upon him and he rejects all sorts of food and drink and the potential of idol worship and remains true to his God. And everything starts to roll. And when the king has a dream that is obviously an awesome dream, but he can't remember it in terms of detail, and the wise men around are summoned to bring their influence to bear and their thoughts, and they're just totally lost. They haven't got a clue what's going on. But Daniel, whose eyes are fixed on his great God, who hasn't changed in Daniel's eyes, although Daniel's circumstances have changed incredibly, God hasn't changed to him. He still believes in a God of heaven and earth, and a God whose kingdom is greater even than the great Nebuchadnezzar, and he interprets the dream. Well, the king is very pleased about this. He recognizes that there's just something very different about Daniel, and even Daniel's friends, and the four of them, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they're invited to take a fairly prominent position in the new governmental structure in the Babylonian scene. But then the king, he has learnt some lessons, but chapter 3 indicates that there are some things he's not learned, and he has not learned to submit to the God of the Bible. He still thinks he's the greatest, and although he's heard through the dream that there's going to be kingdoms come after him and they're going to be fairly brittle and they're going to break up, he still has this sense of, I'm a great king, I'm in charge, and I do what I want. And he makes this image, and his idea is to make this image, and then at a given moment in time, he's going to ask everybody to bow down and worship the image that he's set up. And he's got it all worked out. It's an extravagant display of his rule and authority. It seems that everybody who's anybody is likely to be there. And there's going to be this tremendous celebration. And at a certain note sounding, everyone's got to fall down and worship. Interestingly, that Daniel appears to be outside the city at this time. I'm sure that's in the providence of God, and he's certainly not going to escape the wrath of or the foolishness of kings to come in the future. But on this occasion, he's not there. But when the message comes to bow down, the other three, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they are there, and they don't bow down. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely furious. Although he's had some respect for these people, he said, you haven't served my gods and you haven't worshipped the image of gold I've set up. Now, come on, we're going to go through it again. And this time, when you hear that music and when you get that command, you are to bow down. But then they say something in verse 17 of chapter 3, which is amazing. They say, well, you want us to bow down, we're not going to bow down. You've told us if we don't bow down, you're going to throw us into the blazing fiery furnace. But the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you've set up. The trumpets blow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they do not bow down. They do still acknowledge their God is God. They're thrown into the fiery furnace, And incredibly, although the people who throw them in die, they survive. And there's even an appearance of Jesus, many believe, in the furnace with them. They are taken out of the furnace. And again, the king just recognizes there's something about these men and something about their God. Well, we're going to stop there. We're going to have some worship. And my good friend Patrick will join me to have another look at Daniel chapter 3.
In green meadows, and you lead me beside quiet streams. Then you give me new strength to walk where you lead. For you are my shepherd, and I have all I need.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I come now to talk to Richard about Daniel chapter 3. The first thing that strikes me, Richard, is that in verse 8, there is quite a bit of opposition still to the Jews. It's the story of history, isn't it? There always has been. And here, again, the Jews are kind of pointed out as people who are different, and there are those who oppose them.
Yes. As you say, this is going to be a recurring theme throughout history and even today. Blame the Jews. Partly, it's the favour of God that rests upon them, despite awful setbacks and terrible things that befall them. They still seem to bounce back. There's something very powerful and resilient, and therefore they're hated all the more. But they're God's people. God's hand is upon them, even in rebellion, even when they've forsaken him. And he still teaches lessons through those people, and he's going to teach quite a lesson to Nebuchadnezzar on this occasion.
So the well-known story of the fiery furnace, and the verse that you pointed out, verses 17 and 18, even if he doesn't deliver us, we'll still not worship your gods. What does that say to us about the level of faith that they had?
Well, it's an amazing level, and it shows the depth and the sincerity of their position. You know, some people will hold a line right up until, you know, the heat literally gets upon them, and then, all right, you know, I'm not going to go through that. But they're making it clear from the very beginning, what for us this is all about is being faithful to our God. And if you push us to the very limit, we will not be unfaithful to God. Whatever the circumstances, whatever you do to us, this is something we're not going to give ground on.
And then in verse 24, again, you pointed out this, the fourth person in the furnace. It's quite a strange verse, really. Who was the fourth person?
Well, there are occasions in Scripture where there seems to be a manifestation of Christ before Christ comes to Bethlehem and before the Christ that we see in the Gospels begins to live his life. And there are theologians who believe that this is Christ, that he has chosen to come and stand with his people in the heat of the furnace. And he's described, the fourth one, as the appearance of a son of God. Quite incredible how someone as wicked and evil and ruthless as Nebuchadnezzar still has some genuine spiritual insights. I mean, he recognized something of who this was, which is amazing considering the way he lives.
And so they are indeed saved from the fiery furnace, and their circumstances changed again and made a lot more positive. They're promoted.
Well, yes, they are. And, of course, those who throw them into the furnace, as I say, they're instantly killed. And they are lifted out. And again, Nebuchadnezzar praises the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He believes that God, this God he doesn't really know, but this God has stepped in again for them.
Yeah, extraordinary. Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at the Book of Daniel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.